We're going to launch right now, right into our series called Anxious About Nothing in session number 2. And today we're talking about more anxiety. Now, anxiety is epidemic, and it is incredible how it's ravaged our society. Now, we'll say this, some anxiety is physiological, like it's actually physical. And if that's your case, if you have severe anxiety, I encourage you to go see a doctor. Please get medicine. God gives us, it's funny, most hospitals, if you think about hospitals, they came from Jesus people, by the way. I don't know if you know that, but Jesus people who started orphanages and hospitals and all kinds of things. So we want to encourage you, if you need that, make sure you go get help. If you broke your ankle, I think you wouldn't just walk it off. I think you would go and get medical help. Same thing when it comes to anxiety, if it's that severe. But most of our anxiety is caused from emotional issues or from circumstantial issues. But whether it's physiological, emotional, or circumstantial, the big component it has all together is it's going to be deeply spiritual. So if you missed last week, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to it. You actually can listen to that message at riverchristian.church/message, riverchristian.church/messages. Or you can download our app and you can listen to our sermons easily while you're working out, while you're walking, you're driving, whatever it may be. That's a good way. But I will tell you this: if you're going to be anxious about anything, be anxious about missing a message on anxiety. That's what you should be anxious about. Okay, so don't miss one session because each one of these builds on top of the other. Now, many of us got these bracelets last week. And if you did not get one of these bracelets, make sure you pick one up. It says Anxious About Nothing. It's got our logo on it. And we'll hand it to you on your way out the door. But it's a good reminder of where our theme verse is for this series. And the Apostle Paul, who's about to be killed for Jesus, here's what he writes. Do not be anxious about what? Anything. Now, we learned last week that he's not talking and saying that, you know, you should never be anxious. Of course, you can be anxious at times, but you should not live in a perpetual state. He wrote a present active tense, and that is don't stay in a constant state of anxiety from day after day, week after week, month after month. Max Lucado, I think, wisely put it best when he wrote, the presence of anxiety is unavoidable, but the prison of anxiety is optional. The presence of it at times is going to be unavoidable, but the prison is an option. And that's what we're learning in this series. It's not never feel anxious. You're going to feel anxious. You're human. You're normal, right? But we're learning how to step out of the prison of anxiety from having to live in it week after week, month after month. Paul in Philippians chapter 4 is giving us a blueprint and how to move from anxiety to peace, from anxiety to calm. So last week, I want to read the entirety of what he wrote. And I'm hoping we'll read this enough that you start memorizing it in your head and in your heart. And so if it's highlighted, that's a key that I need your help on it, okay? So here it is, starting in verse 4 of Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be what? Anxious about anything. But in every situation, by what? Prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Last week, we talked about verses 4 and verses 5, where Paul says, rejoice in who? In the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is where? Near. The first thing we did, if you're going to move from anxiety to peace, is not to celebrate your heartbreaks. Don't celebrate your loneliness. Don't celebrate your grief. But to celebrate and rejoice in who? Rejoice in who? The Lord. And so we said last week, the peace is found living between the pillars. If you remember, I had two pillars. We had one of God's goodness and God's control. And if you believe that God is good, but he's not in control, you'll always try to take control. If you believe that God's in control, but he's not good, then you won't trust God. But if you position yourself right between God's goodness and God's control, it allows you to take a breath in the middle of the storm of anxiety, and you know because God is near and God is with you, it's going to be okay. And so once we understand who God is, we're ready to move on to the next step, And that's where we find ourselves today. Starting in verse 6, look what Paul wrote. Do not be what? Anxious about anything, but in what? What? Every situation. That means any, all, every, each situation. I think that covers about everything you and I are going to face. And every situation, here's your next step. By what? Prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your what? Request to God. Paul tells us so clearly that if you're anxious, go to God and ask for help through prayer. Show me a raise of hands if you've ever had a check engine light come on in your car. Raise your hand if you've ever had that happen. All right, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. All right. Now, keep your hands up if that check engine light's on right now. All right, you might want to get that checked, everybody. All right, you might want to get that checked. Because that's an indicator that you need to go see someone, right? That you need to take your car to the designer, to the manufacturer maybe, or to a mechanic and get some help. Listen, anxiety is like a check engine light. And when you feel anxious, it's a sign that something is not right. So it's an indicator. A wise move would be taking my soul, myself, to my manufacturer, to my designer, to my creator who made me. In other words, if it's big enough to worry about, guess what? It's big enough to pray about. If you're worried about something, then it's big enough that you need to be praying about it. You see, peace is found on the path paved with prayer. That's a lot of P's there, all right? Peace is found on the path paved with prayer. So can I ask, when you feel anxious, is God the first being, first person you turn to, or do you turn to someone else or something else? Like when you feel anxious, is your first move to go to drugs, alcohol, work, sex, pornography, Amazon? I gotta feel in control. Something just to get your mind off of it. And for many of us, including myself at times, prayer is the last option instead of it being the first option of the line of defense. Now, listen, if you struggle with this, today may be the hardest, but yet the most important installment of our series. And here's why. Some of you, let's just be honest, have given up on prayer for anxiety because you don't think it works. Some of you are pushing back right now. Some of you online, some of you in the room, you're going, Nathan, don't you think I've tried to pray? And I did, and it didn't work. And the last thing you want to hear is another Christian telling you to pray harder. Just pray harder. You did, and nothing changed. Can I just ask if this is you? If prayer doesn't work for anxiety, why did Paul tell us to use it? Why would Paul tell us to use it if it doesn't work? If you're frustrated with prayer and it hasn't helped you, if you've given up on prayer, I'm asking you to stick with me today, because embedded in these verses right here is a way to pray specifically for anxiety that many of us, I guarantee you, have missed. Could it be that you tried to pray and it didn't work because you missed out on how to pray in a way that has a greater power actually over anxiety than you know about? So let's dive into these verses that Paul tells us here. And I think it's kind of a secret how to pray. Once again, do not be what? Do not be anxious about anything, but every situation. I want you to say these three words with me, because I want these three words to be embedded into your heart, into your head today. As my dad used to say, into your noggin. Okay, here it is. Say them with me. In every situation, by what? Prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your what? Request to God. What's interesting, he gives us three words: prayer, petition, request, three synonyms from God, but each one of them is unique. Why did he give us three? Why didn't Paul just give us one? I believe Paul knows that we need to move in progression in our prayer life when it comes to combating anxiety, specifically to point us to getting to more specific. For instance, prayer. Let's just start with prayer. Prayer is kind of approach. Like, I know I need help. I know I need to pray, right? I know I should turn to God and I should pray. That's kind of prayer. And the next step, petition. This is more of like requesting help. I need your help, God. And we kind of say, God, need help. Please help me. Help me. And three, request is more specific. I ask for something definite. I ask for something specific. Notice progression when it comes to anxiety. And let me kind of give you like a little visual here that helps me kind of figure this out. Like a target right here. On the outside, you know, generally speaking, that's kind of where many of us are. We're like praying. I know I need to pray. That's where I need to be. And then we take another step close to the bullseye, petition, God, help me. I need your help here. Please involve yourself here. But let's get to the bullseye when it comes to dealing with anxiety. It is to get to right to it. And this is where I get ultra specific about my request, to pray exactly what you're anxious about and tell God exactly what you need from him. God, I need you because of this. We know this is hard to do because anxiety is a fear of the future. A lot of times, anxiety stays really vague. You know, we talked about this last week. Anxiety oftentimes is what if this, what if that, what if this? And it takes effort to discover what exactly am I anxious about and what exactly do I need God's help on. So as you look at this target, where would you say you kind of hang out most of your prayer life? You hang out mostly in the, I know I need to pray. Kind of start a prayer? Do I kind of talk about help me, or do I get really specific? How many of you have ever had a child come up to you, and all of a sudden, they kind of come up to you in a panic, you know, you don't know what's going on, they come to you hysterical, and they just start screaming, they start crying, and it's kind of like a help me, but you don't know what it is. Raise your hand if you ever had that happen, a child comes up to you just screaming their head off, and you don't know exactly what they need. And so what do? We kind of look at them and say, hey, I don't know what's going on. You got to tell me what's happening. And then we kind of say something like this. We kind of look at the child and go, okay, Susie, use your words. Slow down, breathe. Use your words, right? It's kind of interesting. Same thing happens even in adult relationships, like especially if you're married or dating someone. You can look at your girlfriend. You can look at your husband and you know something's not right. You know, they're just kind of being a little edgy, and so you kind of ask them, hey, is anything wrong? Are you okay? Is anything going on? And what do they usually say? Nothing. Fine. Nothing. Hey, let me kind of give you some free marital advice for you guys who are thinking about getting married or you are newly married. Here's some free marital advice. Nothing rarely means nothing. Nothing means something. And it's probably something you did. Let's just go with that premise, okay? And if you ask your spouse, hey, what's going on? They say nothing, and they're kind of being general. Never say, here's some really words of advice. Never say, okay, use your words. Because it'll turn that nothing into a big, big problem, okay? Just warning you there. You see, you can't really help somebody with what's bothering them until they get specific. So let me ask you, do you get ultra specific in your prayers with exactly what you're anxious and exactly what help you need from God? Do you know why some of us don't do that? Some of us don't do that because it's hard. It's hard. It takes work to dig and to figure out why am I anxious. And so we just don't want to do the work. We just kind of want to keep it to help me phrase. Help me, God, help me. You do the heavy lifting, God, help me. And other times, we think things that we're anxious about just seem too small to God. If we're honest, we think it's too small. Let me ask you, if you think things are too small in God's eyes, is anything too big in God's eyes? If things are too small, is anything too big? Here's the thing. You have a heavenly Father who wants to hear from you. No matter what kind of father you had on this earth, I'm telling you what, you've got a heavenly Father who is a good Father, and he loves you. And we're told to get specific with God. And here's what I think many of us have concluded. We concluded this. The Bible says that God already knows everything, so why in the world should I get specific? And many of us are thinking that way, and so we put the heavy lifting on God. Maybe getting specific with God isn't for his benefit. Maybe it's for our benefit. There's a story I want to tell you about in Mark chapter 10. And it's fascinating because it comes across this man. His name is Bartimaeus. Now, Bartimaeus has a lot to be anxious about because Bartimaeus is blind. Can you imagine how much anxiety there must be if you're blind? And not only that, but blind in ancient times. And not only that, blind in a time when people think you're blind is because you did something wrong and God wants to punish you. And so people neglect you because they think you did something wrong. And so you don't know what you're going to eat. You don't know where you're going to sleep. I would say there's a lot to be anxious about if you're Bartimaeus, wouldn't you? And so all of a sudden, Jesus is coming in town, and people tell Bartimaeus he's coming through. And so Jesus is coming, and Bartimaeus just starts shouting out. He says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And people basically around him tell him to shut up. They tell him to shut up. And all that does is make him shout all the louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And he says that over and over. And this was so interesting, is all of a sudden, just like God hears our prayers, Jesus starts heading towards Bartimaeus. He gets in front of Bartimaeus, and Bartimaeus can sense it. And so he kind of stands up. He probably has a cane. And all of a sudden, you can kind of vision Bartimaeus starts reaching out and feeling Jesus' face. "Is that you, Jesus?" And all of a sudden, Jesus asks him a question. He says, "What do you want me to do for you, Bartimaeus? What do you want me to do for you, Bartimaeus?" Now, can't you just kind of imagine, I think, the disciples pulling Jesus over, and they're just kind of pulling him over because they want to embarrass Jesus in front of everybody else. And they kind of say, "Jesus, did you not notice, because everybody else notices, he's blind, like he's totally blind, okay?" So you imagine the guys are just like, "What do you mean? Why are you asking him? What do you want me to do for you?" Listen, when Jesus asks a question in Scripture, it's never for his benefit. It's for the benefit of the person he's asking. Jesus already knows he's blind, but he's asking him, "Please tell me, get specific here with me." And Bartimaeus says, "Rabbi, I want to see." And he gets specific, and Jesus says, "I can work with that." Don't miss the point. Why would he ask the blind man what he needed when he already knew? And when Jesus asks you to get specific, it's not for his benefit, it's for your benefit. It's for my benefit. So here's the big idea today. The more you pray specifically, the more God can ease your anxiety personally. Now let me tell you why specific anxiety prayers, all right, are so great at combating anxiety. Number one is this: specific prayer helps you get to the root issue. It helps you get to the root issue. A lot of times we stay on the peripheral, general area, and we just kind of say, "God, help me with my job. Help me with work." Like, what's that mean? What if you prayed instead, "God, you know, I'm anxious about this project I got happening soon. I got to present it in front of everybody. I got to present it in front of my boss. I got to present it in front of my team. And I don't know if the direction I want to head is the direction my boss and my team wants to head. And God, you know, I'm worried about presenting this because I don't want to get rejected. And then I'm going to look stupid in front of my peers because I've worked so hard and long on this. You know what I'm really anxious about, God? If I'm honest with you, here it is. I'm worried about my image in front of everyone else." And God says, "I can work with that. I can work with that." You go, "Hey, God, I'm anxious about my friendships." What in the world does that mean? "God, I'm anxious about my friend because I believe that he talked behind my back. I feel betrayed and nobody's, you know, I haven't said anything about it. I've acted like we're fine, but we're really not fine. And God has kind of eaten me inside. And yet this friend is somebody who means a lot to me, God. You know, they've been with me for a long time through the thick and thin. And all of a sudden, God, I know this cannot stay resolved. I need to talk to them. And God, I'm scared to talk to them because I don't want to lose them. But God, I know what I need to do. So I need courage and I need words. I need to be loving and kind, and I pray, God, that you can take something right now and actually make our friendship stronger. God, would you intervene and give me the courage and the love to move forward in this relationship?" And God says, "I can work with that." Now, someone needs to hear this today. You need to dig, and it's uncomfortable. And when you do, some of you are going to find some not so comfortable issues of guilt and shame because you haven't dealt with that. You haven't made things right with the Lord. And I want to tell you, what's so cool about RCC right now is we've had people in the last 3 weeks who've made things right with God. In the last 3 weeks, not even quite 3 weeks yet, but almost 3 weeks, more like 2 weeks, we've had 97 people get baptized in the last 2 weeks. Isn't that awesome? 97. If we got more people getting baptized this week, it'd be kind of cool to have 100 people get baptized in 3 weeks. I mean, that's just mind-blowing. But people are realizing, you know what? I've got things. I've got guilt. I've got shame that I haven't dealt with. I need to make right with the Lord. I want you to know something. When Jesus went to the cross, he took your anxiety with him. And some of you need to give that over to him and make that right and just receive his grace and receive the forgiveness of God through Jesus. Some of you, that's the root issue. Number two, why specific prayer is so great at combating anxiety is this. Specific prayer almost always involves other people in the answer, in the process. Don't miss this. Paul, when he's writing out of prison, he also writes a note to a guy named Timothy who is mentoring. And he says to Timothy, he says, right before he dies, right before he's about to have his head cut off because of Jesus Christ, the Roman Emperor Nero, who's about to kill Paul, Paul writes these words as he's dealing with anxiety to Timothy. He says, get Mark. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. Please bring him to see me. Paul knew that we were never meant to face anxiety alone. And this is why it's so important here at RCC. Like this right here is just the appetizer. The main course of our church is doing life together. Amen? I mean, that's where it's at. That's where anxiety has to be diminished when we get into community. And that's why we always encourage you to go to Welcome RCC, which is happening next Sunday at 10 o'clock. Encourage you to go to if you've never been. So you can go to Thursday night service on 7 or 8:30, service on Sunday morning, 11:30 service. But come to Welcome RCC next week to learn how to get in community if you want to combat a lot of things like anxiety in your life. Go to the Life Group Corner and get in community. Go ahead and make that step because what breaks my heart is when people go through anxiety, you know what they normally do? They normally step out of community. The one thing they should head towards, they actually leave. I mean, if you want to combat anxiety, you don't get out of community, you dive into it more than ever. But Satan does a work in our heads, in our hearts, and all of a sudden people start leaving that. You were built for community. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen when you get in community here at RCC. You're going to hear two words that said a lot around here. And those two words are me too. Everybody say those two words with me on the count of three. One, two, three. Me too. When I say me too, I'm not talking about, hey, how are you doing? I'm fine. Me too. I'm not talking like that. I'm not talking, hey, how's your family doing? Oh, man, life's great. Job's thriving. Kids are overachieving. Daddy's rich. Mama's good looking. Oh, really? Me too. I'm not talking like that. Here's what I'm talking about. Some of you are walking through a dark season of life that you're not proud of. And I mention this part right here because of personal experience in my own life. And what you do not need when you're binging or when you're overeating or when you're grieving, you don't need someone coming up to you to lecture you. What you need is what I found. Someone comes to you, your darkest point in your life, and they come up to you and they go, yep, been there, done that. And I want you to know that me and you are going to get through this together. And I want you to know that this is not who you are, and you're going to do better, and I want to be with you every step of the way. But I want you to know that I've got your back, and you're not going to be alone. Me too. And if you've never had that experience, when you've hit your darkest point, I'm telling you right now, my heart breaks for you because I've had it happen and it changed my life. When you were powerless and someone else used their strength to assault you and abuse you, guess what? You're not alone. Me too. When you were stressed and you yelled at your kids in the car on the way to church, you're not alone. Me too. When you couldn't sleep at night because of anxiety, you found that you ate a whole bag of Doritos all by yourself, you're not alone. Me too. When someone cut off you in traffic and you wanted to use road rage and cuss them out and tell them they're number one, you know what I'm saying? Me too, but I got this RC sticker on the back of my car, so I didn't do it, okay? Family, don't blow through this one. Learn from the Apostle Paul, a specific prayer for anxiety always involves other people in the answer. And I want to challenge you once again to go to that Life Group Corner and find a community to get involved in. There's a number there. There's an email there. You email them, and we'll connect you with that life group today. Finally, number three, specific prayer can lead you to specific passage of Scripture. This is huge. This is huge. One of the most powerful ways to pray is to pray Scripture over anxiety. I've done it in my life where I have Scripture memorized and I started quoting Scripture. I remember being in the back seat of a car just reciting Scripture, and I had anxiety. And I felt like a mouse starting that prayer, but I started quoting those Scriptures, and all of a sudden I felt like a lion by the end of it. And anxiety just dissipated out of my mind and heart. Some of you are like, well, I don't know Scripture well enough to know even what Scripture to use. Well, I'm going to give you a tool, and I'm totally not making this up. This is totally what you can do. Go to Google. Google it. Here's what you do. Three words. Whatever you're anxious about, put that in, and then two more words. Bible verse. I mean, it's a great tool. And I'm telling you, like, for instance, you're worried about something, you're fearful of something, and you type in the word fear and then Bible verse, those three words, fear, Bible verse, and all of a sudden this passage pops up. You connect with it, and it says this: even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me, God. And there's a verse you connect with, you screenshot it, you print it out, put it on your mirror, you pray for it every morning, every afternoon, every evening, and you start praying things like this: God, I'm in a dark valley right now, but I will not be afraid because you are in control, you are good, and I know you're with me. And you just pray that over, and I'm telling you what, man, anxiety starts leaving. You type in the word anxiety, anxiety Bible verse. Several scriptures pop up. This one pops up. You print it. You screenshot it. It says, cast all your anxiety on him because, why? He cares for you. And so you make this your prayer. God, moment by moment, I will cast all my anxiety upon you. I will position myself between your goodness and your control because, God, I know you are near. And, God, I know I can trust you because I matter to you. You care for me. Just listen, if you've given up on prayer, I'm begging you, maybe now you realize it's time to start praying differently, to start praying more specifically. And once again, I'll bring this up. The more you pray specifically, the more God can ease your anxiety personally. Get to the root about what you're anxious about and watch how God will grow your faith as you trust in him. And here's what I hope you see from today's lesson. If there's anything you've missed, I hope you'll see this. God is more eager to respond than we are to request. Amen? God wants to respond to your prayer more than you even want to give the request. Don't go this alone. Get in community and find a promise of Scripture that fits your problem and put it before your head and your eyes and your mind each and every day and just pray that over and over. Keep trusting that God is good, God is in control, and God is near. I want to be transparent for a moment as we close. I'm a pilgrim with you. I'm a pilgrim dealing with anxiety, but all glory to God, I'm a pilgrim making progress. I've learned the more specific I pray, I get a peace, not from God. I'm talking about the very peace of God. Meaning God's very own peace downloaded into my soul. I cannot explain it, but I have experienced it. It's not a peace, listen, it's not a peace that's dependent on getting everything I prayed for. It's not dependent on getting the answer to my prayer. It's a peace that's unexplainable. It's a peace that's undeniable. God's ability to relieve anxiety can only be explained that it comes from God. There's a guy by the name of Gary Morris. He's a lieutenant colonel in the Army Reserves, and he's in Iraq during the time of war. And he finds out that he's got to take a prisoner all the way to Baghdad, who has an abdominal infection because Baghdad has a better hospital. That means that Gary has to put on 50 pounds of body armor. It meant that he had to have a Humvee with a gunner looking for snipers. It meant going down a road loaded with possible potential landmines. Gary is filled with anxiety. He's nervous and he's angry. He's thinking to himself, this would be crazy enough to do for an American. Why do I have to do this for a prisoner, an enemy? But he remembered a son of his, son-in-law of his, had given him music to listen to in Iraq. And while he was driving to Baghdad, he put the song on, and of all things, it was worship music. And the first song he listened to was from a Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, and they sang the song, "Surely the Presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His power and His grace." And Gary said, something happened to me as I started singing that song, started worshiping, started praying through music. God began to pour. As I poured out my anxiety to Him, God replaced it with peace. And not only did he get peace, but he says, I started developing a love for the prisoner, for the enemy that I was transporting. And when he got to Baghdad, Gary said that the road had not changed, the threat had not changed, but that he had changed. God had once again kept his promise. So I want to do something as we close. I want to stand right now. Please stand. And I want you to bow your head. And I want you to think about one area that you're anxious, not 10. What's one area that you're anxious in right now? Because Scripture tells us that not to be anxious about anything, but to, in every situation, to present your prayers, petitions, requests to God. So right now, I want you to be specific about that one thing that you're anxious about. Go ahead and dig deep. In the silence of this morning, be specific. Request. Give a request to God about that one thing. Now I'm going to ask you to get really bold. And I want you to ask that the Holy Spirit reveal if there's a worry beneath the worry. Right now, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal if there's a worry beneath the worry that is the root of the problem. Now, God, I call for your faithfulness to do as you promise, and for all who sincerely and obediently are praying to you, following your word, would you please give us an overwhelming peace. May the peace of your Son Jesus reign in our hearts today, in the days ahead, in the weeks ahead, knowing that you are near, knowing that you are with us. Lord, I pray right now that you'll do a miracle in someone's heart right now, God. For Jesus' sake, we pray this in his name. The whole church said, amen. So I want to stay in this moment right now. If you need prayer, our prayer team's up here. They're prayer warriors. Maybe you want to get specific about something. Maybe you want to share a joy, whatever it is. Maybe we'll give your life to Jesus Christ. Won't you come? But right now, we're going to sing to a God who carries us through every bit of worry and anxiety. Let's give him our anxiety. Let's give him our worship right now, church. Come. We're ready for you.